listening to Tom McConnell on News Talk 610 CKTV and online at 610cktv.com. Call Tom McConnell now at 905-688-CKTV, 1-877-610-CKTV, or #610 on the Bell Mobility Network.
10:51 is our time. This is News Talk 610 CKTB. Pam Colleen joining us on the program. We'll get back to water in a second. Pam was just at a water conference in London, England. You went with a colleague of yours, Professor Joe Cummins from Western University. And Joe presented, I guess, a couple of papers on compounds, the drugs, sometimes they're pharmaceuticals and they get, you know, consumed by people. It's one thing for us to think, don't dump your old prescriptions in the toilet. I mean, that we know, but in terms of, well, you consume drugs and you got to get rid of them. So this is your body metabolizes them, but it's now, I guess the unintended consequences. Well, what do we do from here? Where do we go from here? Yeah. How safe? Here's a question that's interesting. How safe is rainwater to drink? We're rural and capture the rain. However, we drink bottled. I guess, yeah, rural capture the rain in terms of flushing your toilets, using a cistern, watering your lawn later on. Yeah, maybe doing even your wash, no problem. But they still drink bottled water. Is rainwater safe to drink?
Well, you know, some people would say yes, some people would say no. I don't know if it's been studied. What we're talking about here is, you know, groundwater. And even in the wells, we're seeing problems in the wells as well, because of course the water is connected, right? So it's hard for this contamination to be contained. It's possible it's showing up in rainwater too, I don't know, but, the most practical solution is to clean it from the source. Because I work to try and create awareness around, you know, how to be healthy without the need for drugs. I'm working at that level, right? There are people out there who could work at the level of saying, you know, how do we clean up the lakes, for example, the Great Lakes, where the contamination is essentially coming from, because we're using our water, drinking water is coming from the Great Lakes. And, of course, these metabolites are, laden in the Great Lakes, Lake Ontario, Lake Erie, Lake Huron, and so on. So we have to say, you know, this contamination is out there before it even comes to, our taps. How do we deal with it? And that's not what's being addressed. And Joe offers some solutions, some very high-tech solutions that could be considered and researched, because right now that's where we're sitting. We're sitting at this stage where he's saying there needs to be more proactive measures looked at to see what is efficient, what is not just at a cost level, but also what will render results. So he has some technologies that he proposes in his articles, but it's really at this stage, Tom, it's just hypothetical.
All right, so what is he proposing?
Oh, so he writes about it in the article. He's talking about some very high-tech technologies. It's too simple just to say it's ultraviolet. I have the article here in front of me, but there's some very fancy, you know, scientific names that he mentions in this article that are new. They're all new terms to me, and they would be new terms to your listeners, possibly even new terms to people working in the watering and engineering department in your area. So I would just encourage people to read Professor Cummins' articles and look at these technologies and see, indeed, if they are viable choices. Because right now what we have is not adequate. Another scientist I know, Heather Gingrich, and she's doing her PhD at the University of Guelph, she said when they installed these water treatment facilities 50 years ago, they were already out of date 50 years ago.
Well, what do you recommend then in terms of for someone we're years, if not decades away from adequately cleaning our water from all sorts of contaminants? So what would then you recommend in terms of if you want to remove the worry from people's minds, what should they do? What should, drink milk, drink something else? I mean, where do you go?
I think people just have to do the best they can with what they have. So for some individuals, that just may be a carbon filter. If people can buy bottled water, make sure it's as high quality spring water as possible. I ask people not to buy from the multinationals because they're doing, they're causing so many problems in terms of the environment. You know, they're draining aquifers and causing all sorts of issues with the geology of the land. So I ask people to avoid buying bottled water from the multinational corporations, companies like Coke, Nestle, and Pepsi. If you can find a bottled water from an ethical company, a local supplier potentially, or something where it's remote, you know, from northern Quebec, from the glaciers, what have you, where it has less influence from man, that may be a better choice. But we're not going to find, Tom, today, there is no pristine drinking water anywhere on this planet, essentially, because of this, you know, pervasive contamination that we see.
When you talk about when you talk about a carbon filter as sort of a halfway measure, what does a carbon filter take out?
Well, it's going to clean the water to a certain degree from all sorts of different molecules. We know because of the high chlorine content. I mean, really, you know, one of the things the priority for the government is that there isn't any E. coli in the water. That's essentially, from what I understand from the scientists I've spoken with, that's really what the government is concerned about, is the E. coli.
That's right. I don't want to die from drinking water.
And they're not, in an
immediate sense, if they
They're not looking at the other issues associated with water. They just seem to be very myopic and consider the E. coli issue, which is important. We can, with the carbon filter, you can, you know, basically clean out a lot of the debris, a lot of different types of debris. Will it get rid of everything? No. But it's going to help get rid of some stuff. And, you know, when you talk to people who use a carbon filter, they can actually tell you that it tastes better, right? And the smell is better, the taste is better after at least it's gone through a carbon filter. So in terms of the cost, it's not as costly as perhaps other measures that are out there. So in terms of its practicality for most people, I think maybe the carbon filter would be the most practical choice. I'm not a big fan of reverse osmosis. I'm not a big fan of distilled water. These highly expensive water filtration systems that are out there, I see a lot of problems with them. There's just too much being done to the water internally in these high-end filtration systems. And they can give people a false sense of security as well, because when I test people who've been drinking some of these water filtration systems, I can see high levels of some metals like aluminum and manganese and so on, that they're just, you know, either the contamination is coming from inside the filtration system, or the filtration system is not adequate to pull out excess metals like manganese or aluminum.
Pam, I got to leave it there, but always a pleasure. Thanks for stopping by today, and we'll talk in a couple of weeks.
That sounds good, Tom. Thanks for everything. Take care.